home at lunchtime, I heard a funny noise. Went out to the backyard to find out if it was one of those ratty boys. Stood there with my neighbor called Peter in a flat skirt passer. He told me he built a time machine, wanted to film a scene. Yeah. He said, I've been here. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 60 of The Locker Room, brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, so make your testes their besties and get 20% off plus free shipping with our code LOCKA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using our code LOCKA. I promise you, your balls will thank you. We do have an awesome interview today with Alana Dunn, who is the host of the dating podcast called Seeing Other People. We had a lot of fun with her, a lot of laughs, a lot of Jewish geography, but before we get into any of that, I do want to say what up to the fellas. Cappy, I know you're doing better in Texas now that all the snow is, you know, calmed down a little bit, but what's your situation there? What's going on?
Yeah, no, everything's good. We got the power back on, baby. The heat's back on. It's actually 78 degrees today in Texas, too. It's such like a weird place to live. It's like just one of those states where the weather just fluctuates constantly. It's a little snow here, a little sun there. So it's nice. Besides that, it's good. We got some games this weekend. Super excited to get the interview out with Alana. I know everyone's going to love that. Other than that, everything's doing good. What's it doing with you, Max?
Just hanging in. We got some snow a few days ago, and the past 2 days, it's been warm for New York in the winter, and it's been so slushy. And like, I drove my car, somewhere, and when I got out, I like, you can't avoid a puddle.
Is that like a driving issue?
No. When I got out, you can't avoid a puddle.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, though, after spending like a week in Florida and coming back to New York, man, I don't get why anyone would ever choose to live in cold weather. Like, I can't believe there's people living in, like, we had Jesse Pollock on. I can't believe people choose to live in fucking Winnipeg. I don't know. I just feel like for me, like, if I had the chance to live in Florida or like California, Arizona, like a warm weather place, I feel like everyone's just so much happier. But I guess there is people who prefer the cold over the warm, which is just so bizarre to me. Are you one of those, Cap? You prefer the cold?
I'm 100% one of those. I'm like, really? I've always been one of those guys too. It's like, I hate sweating too. So like, okay, there's a difference between it's hot out and it's cold and it's stupid hot out. Like Florida during the summer is stupid hot to the point where you can't walk around without sweating unless you're just a absolutely sculpted human being who's just used to the heat. So like, from my standpoint, I'm definitely one of those psychos. I mean, I don't know if that's just like because I grew up in a hot state, grew up in Florida, and always playing hockey, wanting to be around the cold. Or it's just the fact that I'm a psychopath. Who knows?
Well, the summer's good because you shed all the water weight.
Yeah, you know, I need that, right?
So I'm sure you guys saw on our Instagram page that we posted what a modern day Hitch movie with Will Smith would look like. But I want to get your guys' opinion because obviously that movie was made like, what, 20 years ago almost? I'm not sure the exact year it came out. But just talking to Alana and understanding how different dating is now as opposed to like being set up on a date with a date doctor. Like, how do you think it would go in 2021?
Dude, the fact that you mentioned that Hitch might have came out 20 years ago, that's when you know you're starting to get old.
Oh, yeah. Big time. That,
I don't know where I saw it, but I saw something about Coach Carter coming out. It was like the 15th anniversary of Coach Carter. And I was like, holy shit. Like, we're getting up there.
Man, before we continue with the Hitch story, speaking of Coach Carter, you know, like the song at the end where it's like where they show like how everybody went to school or went to college. And it's like, yeah, I'm hopeful. Yes, I am. Dude, they've been posting like TikToks on it. It's the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, those like, TikToks just, like, are great.
Like mocking like the Coach Carter movie, like the ending just with the song. And it's like, Jason went to school.
No, but, I've seen those. Those are awesome.
But in regards to the Hitch movie, so like, what do you mean? Like, how would it go in 2021?
Well, just I feel like there's no like date doctor or like someone people see to be set up on dates like in that movie where now it's like everything is dating apps and like online dating.
Sorry. It's just like on your job portfolio, it just says like dating expert. Like, and there's just like, that's your specific job. Like, there's nobody out there who's just like out there doing that, you're saying?
No. I'm just saying literally the dating scene in general, everything is like online now. People need like an online profile or everything.
Like think about if Hitch was made of 2020 and dating in 2020. How would it be like?
So I'm saying like Will Smith was teaching, you know, Kevin James all these different things he can use on Allegra Cole. I don't know the actor's name. So now it's like everything is all texting and DMing and all that stuff. So would there be a Will Smith who's like just teaching someone how to talk to a girl like through the phone? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, his tactics would be totally different in 2021. Different. Oh yeah, I know what you're saying. That'd be crazy. I don't even know how you would go about even setting somebody up. It'd be totally different. That'd be crazy.
Because the in-person communication is like, I feel like it doesn't even matter anymore. People complain about bad texters. Like that's the turnoff now. It's so crazy.
Yeah,
that's all I see about dating is like, is she a bad texter? Like all this shit. Like I don't fucking like texting. Who likes texting?
Oh, trust me, that's 100% true. And I've actually dealt with that being in a long distance relationship with my girlfriend for who knows how long. But it was early on, like in our relationship, we started doing long distance, and we had to have some serious conversations because I'm the worst texter known to man. And it's like, I think I got that from my parents, because like I text my parents back, I'll text them like a whole paragraph and they'll just write me back like K, and I'll call them and I'll be like, hey, what's wrong? It's like, are you okay? Is everything good?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, what do you mean? That's just like some people know how to text and some people take shit more personally over text when it's just like, no, dude, I'm just trying to write you a message. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I always feel that way when I talk to Max. Max will text me and I feel like he sounds so angry, and he's like so not angry. It's just like, it's weird that there's like a texting tone.
No, but the thing is like you, and you can relate to this too, probably, is that you can adapt to like, if you're texting somebody for a long period of time, like if you're in a relationship and you text a lot, you know, when your partner, when somebody says something, you know, they're pissed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're not happy or something's wrong. 100%.
Yeah. That's why I pick up the phone and call Maxie once a day when he texts me back. And I'm like, did I do something? No, dude. Maxie, come on, give us some.
Well, you also get upset if I just respond okay.
Yeah, I'm a sensitive guy.
Yeah.
That's why Laz is a big KKer. So like, it's, he doesn't say just say K. Like if you just said K, that something's wrong. But he adds the double K, which makes it okay.
I need like a woof.com when Max texts me okay. I try to buzz him on everything. You know, I'm like Instagram, like, is it okay? Instagram DM, Twitter, like
he wants me like to spell out like okay, like it's okay.
If you put an exclamation point on it, I'd be like, oh, he's happy.
All right, I'll punctuate everything.
Yeah. Please, for my own well-being. Yeah. Enough of the texting stuff though, because I can go on with that for days. Like I tell Maxie all the time, he needs to like help me with understand his texting tone. But I do want to talk about some of our favorite and most underrated rom-coms. I know we're all big love guys. We love love here. So I like to cuddle up in a ball and watch a romantic comedy movie. But what are some of your guys' favorites, or even like underrated ones?
I'll go first. Mm-hmm. I got two. I'm just gonna give two. I got my first one. I don't think it's underrated. I think it's such a good fucking movie. Fever Pitch.
Honestly, yeah. That didn't even occur to me. That is a great, I love Fever Pitch.
Like unbelievable movie. Obviously a romantic comedy. Like couldn't describe a movie more than that, but yeah, go ahead.
Funny story. Jake Asman was interviewing Johnny Damon on his radio show. Jake Asman's a dear friend of ours, friend of the program. And he told me he was interviewing Johnny Damon. So I was like, dude, you got to ask him about the line in Fever Pitch. Johnny Damon got the sweetest ass in the league. And then the next day, the New York Post or something like wrote about that question. I was like, dude, what the fuck? Like,
no way.
Yeah. I was like, that's so sick.
That's pretty crazy. And then my other one, an older movie, Coming to America with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, dude, they're making a second one.
I know. But classic. Obviously, not so much like a romance movie through and through, but kind of is. I mean, with the whole marriage and everything like that. But two great movies, two romantic comedies. I don't think they're that underrated if you're actually a good movie critic and know what the fuck you're talking about.
No, those are amazing. Those are amazing choices.
What do you guys got, though?
For me, it's actually a movie I saw recently, Long Shot with Seth Rogen.
Oh, with like the political lady?
Yeah, where the woman's running for office and Seth is the speechwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wasn't even expecting it, just came on. It was and I saw that Seth Rogen was in it, so I was like, all right, I'll put this on as background noise, and end up just like locking in and watching it. So yeah,
you didn't scroll one. TikTok for 2 hours?
No, I did not run into that one.
Funny stuff. I'm going to throw one out there that's like, I feel like never talked about. What Happens in Vegas with Ashton Kutcher and Cameron Diaz. That movie is amazing.
I've never seen that.
Oh my God. It's
great,
so good.
Great, great movie.
And I never remember the actor's name, the ball guy who's in Ballers and Hot Tub Time Machine. Do you guys know his name?
Oh yeah. He's hilarious. Yeah,
I know.
He is so funny in that movie. That movie's amazing. And it's like, I feel like it's never talked about, but it's like a cute ending kind of movie. And then there's obviously the debate, like another Ashton Kutcher one, but people always debate these two. I feel like it's what, Friends with Benefits and then No Strings Attached, like the same exact movie. Oh, but yeah. Which one do you guys prefer in those?
Friends with Benefits all day.
Same.
Does Mr. Deeds count as a rom-com?
I would say so.
I would definitely, yes. I would definitely put that under the rom-com category.
Fun fact, Winona Ryder in like the last scene when, this is my money, like that one, like the, you know, with the press conference, Winona Ryder says like, my name is Pam Dawson. I'm from Syosset, Long Island. And my favorite artist is Bruce Springsteen. I was like, that's my dream girl. Like, yeah.
No, those are all great movies. I feel like Adam Sandler has about 1,000 romantic comedies. I was actually thinking of like some of them, like just like the ones where he brings like Drew Barrymore to the to whatever fucking island with families. Blended. Yeah, Blended. Mm-hmm. Just I feel like he has 1,000 of them. Oh, but I think it's time to get into a little segment that we love to do called Oy Vey. I'm going to start us off because I love to do that. I didn't really have too much this week. So my Oy Vey is that after practice today, my good buddy, Carlos Fernares, my coach brought me to the office. You know Carlos, right?
I remember him from Topeka.
Yeah, my boy Carpitos. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah. We have a lot of injuries, stuff going on right now. So he actually got called up to our team. He's flying. He's going to meet us in South Carolina. Kind of got screwed over at the beginning of the year. Hasn't had a team to play for. Just been chilling in Florida, skating, getting ready. So he's got the call up. He's getting a couple games this weekend, hopefully. And I'm pretty excited for him. Excited to see him too. So that's my Oy Vey.
I hated him when we played him.
Yeah, no, he was a little shit, dude. I remember he would always run me every game and when we play them, just do it on purpose. But
he was such a fuck.
Yeah, he was a fuck, but he was a good kid.
Mm-hmm. What do you got, Maxie?
The recent news today with Tiger Woods, just whenever you get news like that, it's like one of those things where you remember like where you were when you heard the news, like similar to the Kobe Bryant incident, but you know, Tiger's a legend. And if that means we'll never get to see him play golf ever again, at least we were able to witness greatness. So my thoughts and prayers are with you, Tiger. I love you.
When that notification came in, I literally was like flashback to the Kobe thing. I was literally like, oh my God, please don't have this dude. Like, don't let this happen again. But yeah, Max, I'm same with you. Thoughts and prayers. I heard nothing's life-threatening. I heard it's just like serious leg injuries. That surgery is going on. I don't know too much details about it, but the car looks pretty gruesome when I saw the picture. So
it was scary. It was scary when there's no info and you just got the
Right. That was the most fucked up part. It's like, okay, you're reading the details and it doesn't say like anything about his injuries, anything. So he doesn't say if he's okay. Doesn't say shit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. But it seems like everything's going to turn out okay. So thank God. What do you got, Johnny?
Well, I feel like an idiot saying mine now.
No, it's
thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers with Tiger. My Oy Vey is how I got my first pedicure this weekend.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but just going from my Tiger serious car accident to me talking about getting my feet cleaned and like my nails filed, it's kind of like a, you know, different end of the spectrum.
Go in, tell
but,
us.
No, but yeah, like I've actually, my friends Henry and Breslow, like have been, and like all my home friends actually, like Jordan, Chase, whatever, all of them have been getting pedicures for years. And I'm like, oh my God, like you guys are going to get fucking pedicure. You're paying $40 right now to like clean your toes. But then everyone shits on me for how gross my feet are. So I was like, okay, you know what? My time has come. I think it's time for me to go get a pedicure. And it was marvelous.
Dude, and that's great.
I'm with both of you guys right now. I've gotten 2 pedicures in my life now and they have both been absolutely stellar. And I would 100% go back any day of the week. Sorry. My main concern when going, my main thing was like, why I wouldn't go. Wasn't because like, oh, I feel like a girl does that. No, it was like, I'm extremely ticklish on my feet and I didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
I actually became very good friends with the woman who, who performed the pedicure on my feet. Her name is Gina. We had a great time.
Who performed the pedicure?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you say it, but I told her I'm going to be a regular there. So I'm very excited for my next pedicure, which will be in like 2 weeks probably.
Oh, wait. So the ladies from the pedicure you got was in New York or Florida?
In Syosset. I went on Sunday when I got home. Because like Ellie can't even look at my feet and all my friends, because I was on the beach in Florida and everyone's like, dude, your toes are fucking disgusting. You need to do something about it. So I did.
Oh my God, dude, that's actually hilarious. So guys, coming up soon. I don't know if you guys know, Jewish holiday. We got Purim coming up the 25th and 26th, and no better place to get all your fit, your bagels, your food than our lovely Bagel Boss. When thinking about Long Island bagels, there's no better place to look. There's no better place that comes to mind than Bagel Boss. They have everything bagels, bialys, delicacies, cold cuts, whatever you guys need. They ship nationwide. Follow them at bagelofthemonth.com. And please use our code LOCKA10 for 10% off. That's LOCKA10 for 10% off.
But other than Purim, I think we should send it over to Alana. You guys are going to love her. She's awesome. Enjoy.
Let's do it. Enjoy, everyone.
This girl grew up in Westchester, New York, and was bat mitzvahed at Temple Sheree Tefillah. She's a content creator and the host of a dating podcast called Seeing Other People. And just like a ton of our other guests, she's a member of the New House Mafia and a Camp Kenwood alum. Welcome to the Locker Room Podcast. Our longtime friend, this is long overdue, Alana Dunn. Alana, how you doing?
I would love to be introduced like that every time I walk into a room. That just felt so right for so many reasons. Thank you for having me.
We take a lot of pride in the sleepaway camp intros and the temple intro.
I am truly defined by a lot of the things that you just said.
I was going to say there was a good portion of our interviews where we were just like, we would go on, or I wasn't a sleepaway camp alumni, so I can't talk, but there were so many interviews we had where there was a sleepaway talk for a solid like 20 minutes. It was like, all right, we got to get off this. Like it was Laz and our producer Maxie. Like it was actually hilarious how long you guys would talk about it.
I mean, hey, we all lived 10 months for two. I don't know what you were doing during your summers, but
playing hockey. But I had to choose. I had to choose. I had a decision.
Well, Alana, I don't know if you know who Tyler Gildon is. He's also a Syracuse alum, but he claims to be the Jewish triple threat, which was sleepaway camp, Syracuse, and living in New York City.
I mean, I think sleepaway camp, Syracuse, and Westchester trumps that.
Yeah, there you go. Like, you're in the elite.
When you put it that way, I'm as basic as it gets, but I'm not. But that's the thing. Like, I'm not actually, I like to think so.
Well, you're not. You don't have a blue Yeti microphone, and we all do. Right. You stand out in that sense.
Exactly.
Are you in Westchester right now? Last time I went to Westchester, I played a team, the Westchester Express. I remember specifically hockey team up there. And I was up there during the winter, and it was like one of the worst winters I've ever been a part of, like as a kid when I was growing up.
I'm not there right now, but I will be there next week.
Oh, nice. So like, what's your like day to day right now? So like, what are you doing?
So I am like 3 months into freelancing, not having a like full-time corporate job. And it's been a big transition. I have the podcast, Seeing Other People, that I spend a lot of time on because we also like are constantly pumping out content. I was doing an AMA all day on the story, and we're just always trying to keep people locked in and on their toes. I have a few clients that I do content creation for and social media management for. Just, I'm freelancing and kind of dipping my toes in the water there. And it's been great. I mean, I'm a lot happier than I was having a full-time job, and I'm still working like 40 to 50 hours a week, but everything that I'm doing, it's like, it's really things that I want to be doing and projects that I believe in. So that's really cool.
Do you think if COVID didn't happen, you would have taken that leap? Or like how do you think your career would have gone if the world was like still normal?
So it wasn't really a leap. It was more like a nice little nudge out the door. So it wasn't actually my choice, but it was something that I was looking to do. I knew I wasn't happy. And that's the thing. I don't think I would have taken that, like, I don't think I would have had the balls to do it had I not been let go from Hinge, because I had been thinking about like what the next step in my career was. I had been unhappy for most of this past year, and I just didn't know what I wanted to do next. And so I was like looking at other jobs, and I nothing was exciting to me. And I think having already been like working from home and in that setting made it easier to be like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to try this out right now. Like, it's now or never. This is the right opportunity for it. So I do think that actually like blessing in disguise, like COVID set me up for success there.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree that everything happens for a reason, but I'm super curious about what you're doing before Hinge, because I know like we're kind of like newly familiar with each other. So I didn't know that you worked in music till I like did my research on you.
Yes.
But I saw you were working with Nick Jonas. Like, how cool was that?
It was like beyond my wildest dream come true. Yeah, my whole background was in the music industry. I never in a million years thought I would ever want to leave the music industry. And that's really like how my career started. I went to Syracuse. Well, backing up, the backstory is I was like a psycho, like biggest Jonas Brothers fan ever. Like every single inch of my walls growing up covered in posters, like my bedding, everything. Who wasn't? But well, like a lot of people, because I got bullied a lot for it. So fuck the haters. but no, like this was to a crazy extent. And Johnny, you were mentioning how I make a lot of friends on the internet. My like best friend in the world, Sarah, we met on Team Jonas, their fan club, in 2008. Mm-hmm. And we were internet friends throughout all of high school, like best friends. And we had never met each other.
Where's she from?
She's from Princeton, New Jersey. And we ended up going to Syracuse together and rooming together.
Shut up. That is crazy.
Yep.
I'm picturing, have you seen that Paul Rudd skit? I think it's Paul Rudd where he's like screaming at the fans. He's like acting as one of the crazy
fans.
Yes.
That's exactly what, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. But that's amazing, though. So I ended up going to Syracuse, and I was in Newhouse. I studied television, radio, film, and then I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew that like that was exciting to me. And then I found out they have this like incredible, like number one in the country music business program. And I'm like, oh my God, I never considered like that people work in the music industry. Like, holy shit, I have to do this. So I ended up doing that program as a minor, and I completely the second I had my first class, or even before I did it, I was like, yep, that's what I'm doing. Like, I need to work in music. And I got my first internship at Z100 and iHeartRadio in New York City. And I thought I was going to be like getting coffee for people. I was shaking on my way in, and I had no idea if they were going to let me like do anything, or if I literally was going to be like a coffee bitch. And like 9 a.m. like first day, my boss comes over to me and he's like, okay, so you have Jesse McCartney at Z100 at 9:50. You're going to photograph that. And then we have Wiz Khalifa coming into Power 105.1 at 11:30. You're going to film that. And then we have Demi coming into Z at 2. You're going to film that. And then can you edit all that and get it up on the website by the end of the day?
Oh my God.
I was like, yeah, I can do that. What? Holy shit. I was like, what the fuck? And like, that was the coolest day. And I was like, oh my God, like, there are people who do this. I want to do this. I'm going to do this. Like, I want to run this place. And like, that was just on my first day. And from there, I was like, this is what I need to be doing. And because for me, it was like going back to the Jonas Brothers, it was like, they were the reason I fell in love with music. And music is such an important part of my life and always had been. And I wanted to help other people fall in love with music the same way I did, by like creating content and using my other passions, which were like my camera, so like video, photography, all that, to help them feel closer to the artists that they loved. And so that kicked off a whole like ignoring my entire major, just like focusing on music, taking on every opportunity, every single possible internship I could do, did so much free work for so many years. And I basically like made a list for myself of dream companies that I want to work for. And I checked them all off during college.
Wow.
Which was nuts.
Yeah, that's like unheard of.
Yeah. So then when I graduated, Nick Jonas actually had announced that he was going to put together a team of his fans to work with him and his management team, because like, who knows what the fans want more than the fans themselves. And I was kind of like, I don't know, like, this seems like, I don't know, like, I'm not going to get it. What are the chances? And my friends kept like sending it to me, being like, oh, Anna, you have to apply for this. And what you had to do to apply was make a video. And I was being lazy. And then the day before the deadline, I was like, you know what? I can totally get this. And I basically just like recorded a video talking about my experience in the music industry, but how that was fueled by the Jonas Brothers. And I ended up, there were over 3,000 people from all over the world applied. They picked 15, 8 from the US, 7 from other countries. And I ended up getting it and being one of them. And fast forward a few weeks later, I was like flown down to Dallas to go to a show and meet the other people on the team and have meetings with Nick and meetings with his management team. And it was the most surreal experience. And they offered me a full-time job like multiple times. And unfortunately it was in LA, and I just like couldn't pull the trigger on moving.
Really? 'Cause
coming from Westchester and Syracuse, it was like my entire world was in New York.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't do it.
It is really hard to leave New York. Like, obviously speaking as a New Yorker, like growing up there, you know, a lot of us, like 75% of us always end up back in New York. So I do, you know, I can sympathize with that, but it's also funny. I do have a confession, I guess. I haven't seen Camp Rock till like a month ago. My girlfriend forced me to watch it, and I get the hype on the Jonas Brothers. Like, I always liked Mr. 3000 or whatever, or Year 3000, whatever. Year 3000, whatever that's
called. Mr. 3000.
That's the what movie is that? That's the baseball movie with what's his name? He passed away. I forgot. But Year 3000. That's my bad fuck up there. But I was probably one of the people who like made fun of people like the Jonas Brothers. So I'm also apologizing.
You were one of my bullies.
Probably.
It's okay. It made me stronger. It made me stronger, maybe who I am today. But yeah, so that was me. And then I ended up working at Sony Music for 2 years, and I very quickly became very miserable and was like, wow, this entire industry is just like political bullshit and like sucking each other's dicks to like make shit happen. And I just wasn't doing the work that I wanted to be doing. And I was like, if I want to like to do what I want to be doing, I need to go into management. And then I like started dabbling in that. But then again, every single job opportunity and job offer I got, again, like all dream opportunities, they were all in LA. And I couldn't do it. And I was also just like so upset with how much like the music industry was upsetting me, just seeing all of the behind the scenes and from like a new lens, where as an intern, everything was just like shiny and cool. And then it's like, okay, this is real life. And I'm also making minimum wage and eating canned tuna for lunch every day. And I'm still going to be doing that, even if I go into management for a very long time. And like, I ended up being like, I don't even like music anymore. I don't listen to music at all because it upsets me, and I need to get very far away from the industry. So I left.
Well, I'm not going to do a spoiler right now, but we do have a question from a listener that has to do with your favorite music. But we'll get into that later. I don't want to throw that person under the bus right now.
Okay.
Alana,
I listen to music now. I like okay. that. Well, as soon okay, as I left, like it took like 6 months, but I love music. Yeah.
Okay. happy we cleared that up.
Yeah. Got you.
Alana, so now you obviously have your podcast, Seeing Other People, which is tremendously like growing extremely fast. I don't know if you guys
that was the worst sentence I've ever heard.
I like it. I like it.
We'll take it. But I know there's like all these other dating podcasts. So if you were to tell people like what is like your podcast stand out compared to like all these other dating podcasts, if you were to tell like a listener to like, why would they jump to your page?
So there are a few reasons. So one, I co-host it with somebody I actually dated. We met on Hinge, Jonah and I. We met on Hinge. We went on a few dates and we really liked each other, but I had just gotten out of a relationship, and it was actually my like, I'm going to dip my toes back into dating and see if I can like go on a date with someone. And I didn't expect to like actually like someone, but then I was leaving every date, going home and crying about my ex. So like, that wasn't great. So I ended things with him, but we ended up just becoming really good friends and now like business partners, and it's great. So that's really cool, 'cause we get to actually have very open and honest conversations about our dating experience with each other, which you don't often get to hear. But we also both have a unique perspective as people who've worked in the dating industry and done a lot of research into modern dating and relationships. Me, 2 years running content at Hinge, and Jonah, actually, he's a filmmaker and a writer and director, and all of the films and everything that he makes are based on relationships. So we've both kind of studied dating and relationships and the ins and outs of that, but in different ways. And so we have that perspective, but we also have the perspective of people who are trying really hard to find our people and struggling. So we get to be really honest about the struggles that we're facing, and we get it. Like, we get that dating is hard, and we're in it with you. We're in the trenches with you, and we're not gonna come out. We're not on any episode being like, we are dating experts, we know everything, because we don't know everything. And at the end of the day, everyone's experiences are going to be different. And we really just want to like rally people together and be like, okay, like this is really hard, and we're all going to figure it out and get through it together.
Yeah. Have you guys, I feel like you and Jonah, well, first off, is Jonah Jewish?
Jonah is Jewish.
Oh, lovely.
You got to have him on.
Yeah. We should have had both you guys, but have you guys had any like fans reach out and be like, all right, when are you guys getting back together? You guys
have
you guys
every had, day. I feel every like, day.
That's probably the most annoying thing in the world. You guys probably had to sit down before that and be like, okay, we're going to get so much shit for this. You already know this is going to happen. Like, just prepare for all this.
Well, here's the funny thing is like, when we, so we had a podcast previously with Hinge called Dating Sucks. And like, that was, we started that going into the pandemic. And during that time, like, Jonah was actually still a little bit interested in me. And I was like, no, like, we're just friends right now. And like, but he was like, there was like a little bit of like a flirty aspect there. And also like, it was quarantine, we were bored. So like, sometimes I would flirt back and, but like, we weren't actually seeing each other. And then after Dating Sucks ended, we, and I left Hinge and I, we didn't know if we like weren't planning on working together. I was like, maybe there is something there. And we talked about going on a date and we started like flirting a bit. So like the thing is, there is this natural like push and pull thing that we do have. And there is a question of like, maybe we will end up together. Like that is very that's possible.
The whole point of the show. That's why you guys started the podcast.
So who knows? Like who knows? I mean, right now we're just friends. He actually had to sit me down in front of a friend the other day to have as a witness and be like, Alana, I want to make sure I'm not giving you the wrong idea. And I'm like, if the wrong idea is the idea that I have is that you're not interested in me. So if you are interested in me, then yes, I have the wrong idea.
You guys should do a poll every week for like your fans. Just be like, okay, what percentage do you guys think are the chances of us getting back together after this episode?
Yeah.
You guys kind of do that. You do that a little bit. You guys plan the whole character thing a little bit.
It's fun. It gives people something to be excited about. And it's funny to see. I mean, I did a poll once on my Instagram that like over 1,000 people voted. I was like, I didn't know that this many people cared. And it was like, should me and Jonah date? And it was like 73%, I think, said yes. But it was so funny reading, like looking through and seeing like which people who know us like voted yes and which friends voted no. And like our friends have such strong opinions on it. Some literally will text us in a group chat every day being like, just fucking date already. Yeah. And others will be like, you guys can never be together. You're so not compatible.
Well, it's so funny. I've been catching up on all the episodes. I listened to the one recently with Lindsay Metzler. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we have a friend in common, Skylar Schwatt. And I know that whole like date situation with Jonah and everything. So that was kind of funny also. I enjoyed listening to that, just like knowing Skylar. And now knowing you, it's even funnier. Just like speaking of Hinge also, I'm kind of curious, just because you worked with Hinge so closely, where dating apps are headed in the future. Because I know you just said that you made a video for the Jonas Brothers and everything. I feel like that is where dating apps are headed. Like, you're going to scroll through a profile and send me like a 3-minute montage of this person's life.
I mean, that would be great. And here's the thing is like dating apps and Hinge do give you the opportunity to upload videos, but people don't do it. And I would love if like a friend made a testimonial video about me, or like, I've been doing a 1 second every day video since the day I graduated college almost 5 years ago. Like I have every like moment of my life documented. Mm. And I think it's like unique and cool, but like, does someone actually want to see that? Are they going to be like, this is so weird? She's going to be such like an Instagram girlfriend, can't handle that. Like, I don't know. So it is hard. But yeah, I do think the more we're able to show about ourselves, I think the more success people will have. And I know there are dating apps that do like live or like once a week or every night speed video dating, or there are dating apps that are now your whole profile has to just be videos, like no photos. And I do think that's a really great idea and the direction that things are moving in.
It's so funny. I don't know if you saw like Tom Brady's Super Bowl hype video that he posted on Instagram. Did you see that by any chance?
Didn't.
No. Well, that's like how I imagine a dating app in like 5 years, like someone like posting like literally like life highlights with
sick, that's like, so funny.
Like Drake music in the background, like
I should try it. I might have to try it and report back.
I think it's a great idea. Cause like, I mean, just, you know, being a sports fan, I get so like fired up. Like everyone says, like, I want to run through a brick wall when I see like a Rangers pump up video.
Yeah.
So if I was like looking at a girl on a dating profile and she had like, you know, that kind of hype up video, I'd be like, oh my God, I want to take this girl out. Like that's so
and it's
sick.
Like once in a lifetime opportunity. Like you don't sleep on Alana.
So well, sick. I think that's like a genius idea.
That's actually
so funny.
That's great to piggyback off that. It'd be funny if you had like, because obviously once you get to know somebody, they want to know, oh, who have you been with? Who are your ex-boyfriends? You're going to make like a highlight video.
Oh, line up.
Starting at number 37, my ex-boyfriend. Just walking out.
That'd be
that might
so
be a turn
funny.
Off though. It's
I mean, I could do like some reviews, like maybe 1X will give me a 3-star review, like, but explain why. It's like, yeah, like exactly. in an interview where you say your weakness is that like you're a perfectionist. So you end up like you need everything to be perfect, but that means that you'll end up like working overtime, which isn't good for you. It's like turning something negative into a positive. But I do have to say the real reason I came on this show and wanted to come on was because I heard a rumor that there's already been one couple that has come from the locker room. So
yes.
I am here to be 50% of couple number two.
We are the good luck Chuck.
Yes, that is what I'm here for. So please do some thinking, do some brainstorming and make something happen.
Who told you that rumor? I'm curious.
I heard it on an episode.
Oh, you did? Okay. Awesome. Did. Well, that shows that you listen. That's a great, oh my God, that's amazing for us. But
The couple Alana's referring to is Ruthie and Harrison Freed, Harry, as Johnny refers to him as. But speaking of Hinge, I did want to ask you, like, obviously you worked for them. I'm sure you had your own Hinge profile. What was like, from your standpoint, like some like red flags for some of our guy listeners? Like you see this profile, you look at it, you're like, yep, fuck that. No shot in hell.
I definitely wouldn't have like a shirtless photo as your first photo. That just screams like douche. So don't do that. Obviously, like the basics, no fish pictures. Like they're so stupid.
Fish pictures? Oh, like fishing, like holding up a fish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, what's a fish picture?
Like every guy has a picture holding a fish. And like, I understand guys don't take as many pictures as girls. So like, it is likely that one of your few like photo op moments has been holding a fish, but like, for the love of God, don't put it on your Hinge profile. Like go outside and take a selfie. I'd rather see that. I'd rather see a mirror selfie, which don't have that either, but like anything but a fish picture, please.
What if a guy sees a girl holding a fish picture?
That's funny. I need to go. I'm going to Florida in like a week and a half. I need to go. I'm going to come back with a fish picture.
You should. And then some guy with a fish picture. You should put Palm Beach as your first picture.
Okay. Yeah. So no fish. I think it's so important that you show a picture of yourself smiling, especially for the first photo. I've had some people ask me to like review their photos and they're like, they look angry or just like depressed in their first picture. And I'm like, or like, they're just trying to like look cool. And I'm like, I wouldn't want to go out with someone who's not like smiling. Like I don't look at that photo. And even if you look good, I don't think like, wow, that's someone I really want to get to know. Like you have to look like warm and inviting. And in terms of like your prompt answers, don't, again, like any cliche, anything that you've seen on anyone else's profile or you've heard, like don't put The Office on a prompt answer. Don't put Larry David. I know we all like the one thing I really
Larry
wanted.
David.
That's fine. But like, then, that's fine. But like, that's the assumption. Unless it's a hot take, like you don't like them or it's something super specific that could strike up a conversation. Otherwise it's basically like wasting space. The other thing is like a lot of people are like, oh, like I spend Sunday horizontal or like I spend Sunday hungover or this year I really want to leave my apartment. Like, congrats. We all do. We get it. Mm-hmm. Like you really want to use your profile to show off who you are and to give people a way to strike up a conversation and like give them a reason to want to go out with you. Like liking tacos. Yeah. We all like tacos. And if you don't, I really don't care. Pineapple on pizza. Nobody actually gives a shit. Like there are just so many things that it's like, take the extra 20 seconds to show me that you actually put 20 seconds of thought into this.
When I did have a dating profile before I met my girlfriend, I do want to run by my first prompt by you because I'm like so proud of it. And I like gave it to my friends since I have a girlfriend now, but it was like, how would your mom describe you? And I said, my mom would say that I'm like a cute puppy because I do a lot of stupid shit, but I'm so cute that I can get away with it.
You know? I love that.
And that
That's
got
perfect.
A lot. I got a lot of love. But also there's been this like, I love the viral like dating profiles. Like there's so many funny ones that like circle around on Instagram and everything. But I saw recently this guy posted a picture like him in front of the Eiffel Tower. And he was like, one truth, one lie. I have a small penis and I've never been to France. And it's like him in front of the Eiffel Tower.
That's really funny.
It was so funny. But I have one scenario that I have to like run by you really quick. Okay. 'Cause I've been asking all my friends, my girlfriend, we've been talking about it because she's been in Florida for like a month and I actually just came to visit, but this is something we actually discussed. So I told her I would tell you this. So what's worse, a guy with a girlfriend giving his number to a girl at a bar, or a girl giving her number to a guy that approaches her at a bar? Or is it kind of equivalent?
With like, a boyfriend. I said that girl has a boyfriend too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a boyfriend.
A guy like actively giving his number to someone. So you're saying the guy approached a girl and gave, that's 100 times worse. 1 million times. They don't even compare, because I've actually seen my girlfriends be in this situation where like, we're just like at a bar, like casually like talking to some people. And like, maybe if like I'm single and they're in a relationship, I start talking to a guy and the friend automatically starts talking to my friend and asks for their number. And like, they didn't want to like get into the whole, like, yeah, I have a boyfriend conversation, but they feel uncomfortable not giving their number. So they do, just because. And I've seen that happen a million times. That is so different than a guy with a girlfriend going and talking to someone and asking for their number or giving them their number, because that means they genuinely want to talk to them or see them again.
That's literally the same exact thing word for word that my girlfriend said. And every girl that I've asked that question to has that answer. The guy is the one initiating. And every guy that I ask is like, it's the same thing.
No, it's not. Like,
no, it's not.
There's such a different like double standard about it, I think, you know?
It's not. I'm 100% on this one.
Okay. I don't want to argue too long, but I just want to like give my defense. Because if a girl's like too uncomfortable to, like for me as a guy, if I get a girl's number and I'm still talking to her throughout the night, I'm like, oh, she's into me. And I would maybe like make a move or try to kiss her. Like, so if someone's like giving out a number, it's like, okay, you're allowing this kind of behavior to happen in a sense. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like a number exchange happens like at the end when you're like peacing out.
Okay, in that scenario, it's different for sure.
Granted, like I haven't been out in a year, so I don't even know.
I'm just happy that you said the same thing that my girlfriend said. It kind of like puts it into perspective for me.
Guys,
but
you ask any girl, unless
I don't get how guys aren't disagreeing with this. It's completely different.
Yeah, let's not dive too much into it.
Okay, yeah, well, let's go to some questions from the listeners, and I'll get into a fight later.
Okay, deal.
So first question from Kicks by Carly. Do you know her by any chance?
I do know Carly.
Awesome. Carly.
Shout out Kicks by Carly.
Yeah,
shout out Kicks by Carly. She wants to know, what was the hardest thing about leaving a solid job at Hinge to start your own thing? P.S. Hi, Alana.
Hi, Carly. I think the hardest part is definitely the fact that I have to pay $750 for health insurance every month out of pocket. That is really scary and really daunting, because that means I have to minimum make that, and then everything else that I'm actually going to make is on top of that. But I think like beyond that, it's really hard to go from like having structure and having other people to be like on a team with, to suddenly like, okay, it's Monday morning. Like, what am I have like a lot of things to get done this week, but it's really like the power's in your hands to do a lot of shit or not do a lot of shit. Like, I could easily wake up one morning and be like, I'm not in the mood. Like, I don't want to work and not work. And nobody's really going to say anything to me about it, but then I'm not going to get anywhere. So you really have to be motivated by your goals and the things you want to accomplish and that next step of your career that you want to achieve in order to actually get things done. Cause otherwise, like, no one's checking in on you. No one's like giving you deadlines. You really have to take the responsibility of that.
The days you aren't working though are the days that you post more yoga content.
Say that again.
I said the days that you aren't working are the days you post more yoga content.
Okay, hold on.
Which is still work.
I don't do yoga, for the record. I just, my mom teaches yoga, so I pop into her class to see my dog. And one of my friends teaches yoga, so I pop into her class to support.
First time you've been supporting us without even meeting us. Yeah, you're awesome.
True. I try.
Next question, BB underscore Beba, B-E-B-A. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
BB underscore Beba.
Yeah, she wants to know what kind of music you like.
Well, I love the Jonas Brothers, as you now know very well. But honestly, like, I like a really wide variety. Like, there are some days and weeks where I will only listen to like EDM. Like, I was obsessed with the Chainsmokers and like Kygo and Martin Garrix and anything like that. That's like EDM, but you can sing along to it. Yeah. Love that. Obviously for the past like month and change, I've been listening to Driver's License on repeat about 84 times a day. I would be concerned if there's somebody on this planet who has listened to that song more than me, because I don't think it's possible. And if it is, like, that's problematic. So I definitely like basic, like top 40 pop, whatever is like big. But I also like love Post Malone, love like John Legend. It really spans and depends on what I'm feeling.
That was, I don't know if you named one bad one there. That was a good lineup.
That was a great lineup.
I like to think I have good taste, though. I get shit on a lot for my taste in music.
Really?
Cause I love boy bands too, you know?
Same here. No, I was super impressed with that lineup you just gave. But last question, Becca Pomerantz, how are you so confident in yourself? It's amazing, amazing and inspiring to see.
Oh my God. Thank you, Becca. I'm not like,
really?
Here it's hard. I am confident, but I'm also not like, there are things that I'm confident in the things I know I'm good at and the things that I know I can make a difference in. Like I'm confident when it comes to like getting on a podcast recording or talking to like interviewing someone, because I know that I've had the practice and I've done it a million times, and what I'm about to do is going to help people and hopefully make a difference, make someone's day a little bit better. So I feel good about all of that. But I mean, like, it's funny because I talk about dating for a living, and I'm so like, there's nothing in the world that gives me more anxiety than dating. Mm-hmm. And like, if a guy isn't texting me back, or if I went on a date and the next day don't know if they had a good time or not, like I will like curl up into a ball and like be miserable.
I hate that dating is such a game.
I know. It's so stressful, and it's like nobody wants to play the game, but then you feel like you have to play the game. And the second you think someone else is playing the game, even if they're not, the second you think they're playing the game, then you automatically are like, okay, well, they're playing the game, so I have to play the game like more than they are. And it's an endless cycle, and it sucks. But yeah, I mean, there are things I'm confident about and things that I am absolutely not confident about. But I think it's just like being honest about that. Like, I talk about the anxiety and that I face in dating, and I talk about like the terrible experiences that I've had that have led to that. And like talking about that, I'm confident in. But then then going back and doing it, I'm a disaster.
You know,
no, but you are. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Johnny. Go. No. You.
Whichever one of you is going to compliment me, go.
Well, I was going to say you are very authentic, and it shows. And I think that is what helps make it like make you confident. Like when you're able to point out your own flaws and like kind of use it in a humorous way, I think that's like what helps with confidence in a sense. Like if you can't find your own flaws and find like yourself, like if you can't self-deprecate yourself a little bit, that's the difference, I think, you know?
100%. I know I'm very flawed. I know I'm very weird. And I think it's actually really interesting. Like this past year, I think has helped me become a lot more confident because I've spent so much time with myself that I've been like, well, I have to like myself. And so like, if me having a good day means like I will literally put headphones on and blast music and dance around my apartment. And like, that's the most fun that I've had in like months, because I don't really have a choice. Like there's nothing else I can do besides learn to love like being in my own company. And like some people might think that's weird. Some people think the fact that I've been like doing puzzles and coloring books is like really weird, but like that I'm like, I've had to learn to enjoy being with myself. And I think that's made me be like, at the end of the day, if someone doesn't like me, that's fine. Like I don't care. I like me.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Completely.
No, 100%. Everyone's got their quirks and shit like that. And if you don't like it, then you move the fuck on.
Or
you do it. You know what I mean? 100%.
Yep.
Well, we've reached the matzo ball minute segment of the podcast. And we've got some great hit or miss questions for you. We'll start off with a good one. What is the best dating advice you've ever gotten? Probably not any good ones after that. So.
God. Am I supposed to like first thing that comes to mind this?
Well, pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we say the matzo ball minute questions, but it's more like matzo ball 17 minute questions. But
I like when the first thing pops in your head, though. I think that's like the best kind of stuff.
Pass. Okay. It's so, can we go back to this one?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we'll go back.
Okay.
So if you were going on a first date, what would your ideal first date meal be?
Ooh, ideal first date meal. I think that something like sushi is fun. It's not like messy. It's, you know, your order for the most part. And it's not the longest meal ever. So you know that like if after the sushi's done, you guys go and get drinks after, like, you know, it's going well.
You got to go to a good sushi place though, because if you go to like a knockoff place, your stomach might be shit the rest of the day.
Sorry. That's actually one of my, this is like so weird to talk about, but that's like my biggest fear, like going on a date. I'm like, oh my God, like, is my stomach going to make it through this day? Yep.
It's a real thing. I have that same struggle.
Yeah. But, and it's like not something you can talk about.
Yeah, Laz, don't take Johnny on a first date going tennis. He'll shit his pants on the golf.
Yeah, it's true. I will shit my pants. But Alana, it's funny that you, or Cappy, I think it's funny that you asked that question about the first date dinner. Cause another thing that I talked to about my girlfriend, she was saying how an ideal first date, like you would rather get drinks than go to dinner. Cause it is kind of like an unattractive thing to watch people eat.
Yeah.
Or just me, I guess she's saying.
It depends.
Some people have that problem. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There are definitely people who have that problem, or there are definitely people who feel self-conscious eating in front of a date or in front of someone they don't know. So if that is you, like, by all means, just get drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See me, I take it offensive. I'm like, with my girlfriend, if you're not like eating with me, I'm like, okay, like what's the problem? Like, why aren't you eating? Like, what's good? Like, I need you to eat. Like, it makes me happy if you're full, you know what I mean?
Oh, you're a Jewish mother.
Oh, stop it.
I want to tell you a quick funny story. My first post-college, like, tailgate, I went to, like, the dining hall with a girl that I met at the tailgate, and I was wearing my flipper, and I didn't want to, and she didn't know that I had fake teeth, so I didn't want to, like, take them out while I was eating, and I can't really chew, like, with the flipper in, so I was, like, shoving, like, I was doing everything I could, like, just try to swallow the food, and I was, like, after 10 minutes, I was, like, you know what, I have to take my teeth out, like, I have fake teeth, I'm sorry, like, just deal with it.
How'd it go?
It was cool, she loved hockey, so it went well.
Great, perfect.
I love the story.
But that's a struggle that people don't get.
Yeah,
it is. So Alana, if you were on the show, one of my all-time favorite reality shows back in the day, the show Next, do you remember it?
Yes,
classic. So if you were on that show and you were like, so that you were the person that got off the bus, you weren't like the person, would you stay for the man or fake it and let him and leave him on for the money?
If I liked the man, I'd stay for the man.
Yeah. Okay.
I think like love is worth so much more than any amount of money. So if you can find that, then you're golden.
Just fried my answer. I love it. I was going to ask, like, I was going to bring up that show in a recent question, but that's such a great show. Imagine that was actually like real life. Like that's how you like went on dates. You were just on a bus with all your, like, just like random people, went off the bus. Like that's such a, just a fuck you. Like imagine you step 2 feet off the bus and the person was just like, next. No.
Well, that's Hinge, dude.
That is Hinge. That is. It's just like not, you don't, it doesn't actually say like you got rejected. It's just, it just leaves it up for like, oh, well, maybe the person didn't see me.
I miss that. Room Raiders, classic.
Jonah and I, stay tuned for an upcoming episode of Seeing Other People where Jonah and I room raid each other's apartments and judge each other based on that.
That's great. I remember that we got like the black light and they'd be like,
no, literally, like we're doing it. I'm scared. I'm frightened.
Okay, so what's the best line a guy has ever used on you?
There's not a line. And again, this will be a long answer, but can I read the best DM I've ever gotten?
Yeah, for sure.
Even better.
Right. I love those TikToks. It's like, found a guy, told me I was a star. It's like, and it's like, I would drag my nutsack while you're there, 20 maybe, nails.
While you're there, maybe if you can find two of them, because the last one we have is, what's the worst a guy's ever sent to you?
Oh, there's like 1,000.
Okay, love.
Let's go with the best one.
I got a DM. Hey, just your run-of-the-mill DM from a complete stranger here. First of all, like, I look at it and it's like this long and longer.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Can't imagine how many of these you got before the podcast, let alone since you launched it. Honestly, it'd be a small victory if you made it this far in the message, haha. But I'm a close friend of a mutual friend, yeah. If that gives me some sort of real life credibility. Stumbled across your podcast and felt it was honest, provocative, and funny. Thought, what the hell? I'll reach out. At the risk of interjecting myself into your life, you seem wholeheartedly genuine. Maybe if things don't pan out with the guy not named Matt, I was like seeing someone and I referred to him as Matt on the show. You'll be looking to get coffee or cocktails with a complete stranger. A brief argument. Pros. Pretty cute. Great with parents and prying friends. Is a doctor. Does live in New York City. Never been addicted to crack. Cons. Not Ryan Gosling. Big rom-com guy. Can't dunk a basketball. All the best with the podcast and hope to hear from you somewhere down the line.
That's a very good message.
Unreal. That's like a job offer.
It was incredible. I was like, holy shit.
I would apply to that.
Right? Well, so here's what happened, because I'm sure you're dying to know. Yeah. I was still seeing the guy not named Matt, but also this wonderful DMer is not Jewish.
Oh,
so, unfortunately, it was doomed from the start.
And is that one of your like, not one of your things, but you prefer that you're going to marry somebody Jewish?
Yeah, it's something that for a while growing up, like my parents always said, and my mom would always say it will to my two older brothers. And I like, it will break my heart if you don't end up with someone Jewish. And I never really understood it until it's funny, 'cause like I grew up in Westchester, like my town was predominantly Jewish and I went to camp and I had like Jewish friends from there, but I never really understood how much my life was Jewish until I went to Syracuse. And not when I went to Syracuse, but second semester when I joined AE5, and I was like, wait, like everyone's last names are like the same. And like, I was like, wait a second, like we all grew up the exact same, just in different places with different people. And it wasn't until then, which I feel like is pretty late for me, that I realized like this, that we all had so many things that connected us. And like, I'm not the most religious person. Like, I honestly don't know what I believe in, but I like love so much all the traditions that I grew up with. And like every single time I go home, even if it's not Friday night, like the first night home, I have my parents or my mom and I cook Shabbat dinner, because that's like my happy place. Like that's my happy moment. And my comfort is having that. And so, I mean, combined with knowing how strongly my parents feel about it and now understanding why, it definitely is something that like I do want to be with someone who's Jewish and raise my kids Jewish.
No, yeah, that makes complete sense. Yeah, that was beautiful. I mean,
Barbara will be happy.
No, it is a real thing. Like you said, you didn't realize it till you were older. I don't think I realized it till I was like 16 or 17. You kind of just assume like everyone in the world is like Jewish until you like step outside of that. And it's like, no, we're like a very small minority.
Right. Yeah. 100%. And it's crazy to see just in the grand scheme of the world, like how Jews are treated and how much anti-Semitism is out there. And it's like, we really do have to stick together, and it's bigger than just like keeping traditions and beliefs going. It's like keeping a whole people going.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. I think that wraps up Matzah Ball Minute. So Alana, we got one final question for you before we let you go. I know you have a big day tonight. Can I say that? Am I allowed to?
You're allowed to say it.
Okay. I don't want to like expose your dating life, but okay. She's got a date. Okay. She's got a head too. So if you can give advice to your 15-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Keep being as weird as you are. You are so weird, and all of these weird things about you are fully going to get you where you need to be in life.
Love amazing. That. I'm so happy we finally got you on. I know it's been long overdue, but you're happy awesome.
Too. Thank you guys for having me. This was so much fun.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you. This was great.
And don't forget to set me up.
I know. 50% okay. Of the next couple. We got you.
If somebody beats me to it, I'm going to be very upset.
Any single guys listening, you just heard the best DM Alana's ever gotten. So try to top it.
One up it.
All right. Thanks, Alana. You're the best.
Thanks, guys.
Later. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We hope you guys really enjoyed the interview with Alana Dunn. We love her. We love her podcast, seeing other people, the Camp Kenwood alum, the Newhouse Mafia alum. We got about 1,000 of those guests on now, so we're really thankful for that. What do you think, Johnny?
We already got people that are DMing us about going on a date with Alana, so hopefully we can be a matchmaker again and get our second locker room couple. I'm not going to say any names as to who DM'd me, but hopefully we can set up a date or something for this coming week. Alana is awesome. Yeah, had a lot of fun with her, and definitely go check out her podcast, seeing other people. They talk about a lot of cool dating topics, and hopefully we covered some cool dating topics ourselves.
Yeah, I think we did. Honestly, maybe we should start talking more about dating, because like you said, we already got one connection made, so maybe we just got to get maybe start the locker room, the little matchmaking podcast. No,
that's what we're going to turn into. Yeah, we're going to be competing directly with Alana, actually. Now we are a competition for seeing other people. We're our own dating podcast now.
Yeah, right.
That's so look out. I do want to take a second, though, to talk about our sponsor, Mindset Wellness CBD. Like we say every episode, they are a full-spectrum CBD company infused with terpenes and vitamins that can provide all-natural anxiety relief. They have several different mindsets, including happy, calm, focus, health, beauty, and rest, which are meant to be taken together to customize your mindset. So go to MindsetWellnessCBD.com, use code LACA10 for 10% off, and free shipping. That's LACA10 for 10% off plus free shipping. They actually sent me a beautiful sweatshirt today, if you can see, Mindset Wellness. Was told there's not CBD in the sweatshirt, just like the hat. But I do want to recommend the vitamin C CBD cream. I just got back from Florida and the cream has been helping me stay tan. If you can see, I have beautiful skin right now, thanks to the vitamin C CBD cream. So go to MindsetWellnessCBD.com, use code LACA10, 10% off, free shipping. Get the beauty cream. It's amazing. I mean, this is the best my skin's ever looked, to be honest. No? No pimples?
Your skin does look, pretty glowing right now, I should say. Yeah, you're glowing.
Exactly. I'm glowing. Other than that, we do have a cool thing to share. Chelsea Goldberg, our friend who plays for the PWPHA, which is the Professional Women's Hockey League. They're playing a game at Madison Square Garden this coming Sunday. So Chelsea will be doing an Instagram takeover to show us behind the scenes look at what that is like. I imagine it's going to be very cool. It's like the first time this league is playing in an NHL arena. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome experience for them. So stay tuned for that. Chelsea's going to show us some really cool behind the scenes kind of things. We're very excited for that. Other than that, I think that wraps it up for this episode. Cap, you got any final thoughts?
That's it. Like you said, Chelsea is going to be a great one for sure. Great takeover. An OG guest. So
OG.
Definitely go check out that episode before she hops on the thing. But we want to thank Alana so much one more time. The interview was amazing. She's amazing. The podcast is amazing. Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Later. They lived underwater. And your great, great, great granddaughter is doing fine. Doing